Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell.
No, that's not the end of the song.
Right.
Well, the place is always crowded, and you're sure to find some room. Where broken-hearted lovers in the crowd away the gloom.
Heartbreak Hotel, and it's crazy. I'm in the lobby, and there's so much heartbreak going on. I just wanted to drink a martini, but the bar is three deep. No one's serving me. I was getting a tip in this bar. Oh, yeah. Oh, what? Does it keep going?
No, I like it. Keep going.
Right.
Yeah, go.
And then I eventually order a drink at the bar at the Heartbroken Hotel. I go, thanks, mate. And I give them a tip, but not too much because my heart's broken and I'm not emotionally prepared to give all my money away yet. And so then I go and sit down, and there's this beautiful blonde sitting at the other end of the bar, and I kind of wink at her, and then she throws up in her lap.
Because she's so heartbroken.
She just doesn't fancy it.
That's not a reason to vomit.
Well, it is. I mean, just the very sight of me. Just she pukes all over her knees.
Well, the bellhop. What's a bellhop?
Bellhop.
Is that the guy who answers the door and expects money?
When you ring a bell,
he's the guy.
He hops to it.
He's the guy at the door. Here's the door that you could have opened yourself.
Yeah, yeah. He carries your luggage.
Can I have some money?
Yeah, yeah. He'll carry your luggage.
That job is the biggest fucking racket.
No, what?
In the world.
No. He has to be someone's bitch.
Because it's not like if they didn't exist, you'd just be standing outside the hotel, like going, fuck, how I open the door? Like, if you just had your luggage and they went, and here's your room key, you wouldn't just stare at them and go, and how do I get my suitcase that I've been carrying around since yesterday?
Right.
And then I carried it into a taxi and then through the airport, then checked it, and then collected it, and then carried it again. How do I get that up to my room?
I'm not saying it isn't a basic job.
It's a racket.
Well, you know, if you want to feel like a king, you go, you pop down to the hotel, you go, bellhop. You whistle, you clap at him, you click in his face. Just go, bellhop, listen. No, look at me. Look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Now look at me. And then he carries your luggage up. And then later on, a couple of days, you throttle him and put him in your cupboard. And then you get busted by the police. Like,
well, the bellhop tears keep flowing. And the desk clerk's dressed in black. Like being so long on Lonely Street.
It's a convenient place for the Heartbreak Hotel.
At the end of Lonely Street.
Yeah. Because if it was on Content Relationship Boulevard,
yeah,
you know,
there would be tension.
Yeah, or that, you know, the happy couple cul-de-sac.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah, the council would get together and go, look, I'm not entirely sure about this hotel.
Yeah.
Going at the end of the boulevard, frankly.
Yeah, on Content Couple Boulevard.
I think, you know.
Do you think at the Heartbreak Hotel they did Elvis Presley's favourite snack?
What are you talking about?
Do you know what that was? Do you know what his favourite snack was?
Burgers?
No, it was a baguette-length piece of bread, whatever the American version, like a foot long.
You mean a baguette?
No, because they don't have baguettes really in America.
What do they call it?
A foot long.
They call it a foot long?
No, a baguette's crusty.
Americans call it a foot long.
A baguette's crusty, and this is just a long bread roll.
Right.
Right, why are you looking so confused?
Well, baguette's two syllables, long bread roll, it just is a long... longer journey to the same idea. I just assumed that they would fucking get with
it. It's a long bread roll.
Right.
Right. Mayonnaise.
Of course.
Bacon.
All right.
Peanut butter.
Wow.
That's the first curveball. Wait for it. And then it's deep fried.
The whole thing?
The whole thing's deep fried.
Then he eats it with a knife and fork?
Well, no. Then he eats it. He famously eats it on the shitter, doesn't he? That's how Elvis died.
Well, so when does he take the amphetamines?
Well, pre-post-gig.
Yeah, pre-post-gig. All right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was heading for it.
Both the Elvis comeback specials, he's sweating a bit too much.
Yeah.
I do wonder if in the Heartbreak Hotel he would have been able to get that snack, is my point.
Right.
Because that is seriously lonely and heartbroken, is when that you're sat alone in a toilet eating a deep-fried peanut butter and bacon long bread roll.
Yeah, and the bellhop comes and knocks on the door. Mr. Presley! Roar! Mr. Presley! No.
Hey now, if your baby leaves you, and you've got a tale to tell, just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel.
It's the end of Lonely Street. Clues in the title. It's not surprising. If you go to Lonely Street, you'll find a Heartbreak Hotel. There's seven of them.
Yeah, isn't every premiere in?
Yeah, a Heartbreak Hotel.
In some way Lonely Street.
Pretty much.
Yeah. No one at a Travelodge is happy.
They don't mention. He doesn't mention vending machines in the song.
No, there's so he many should. Things that he doesn't. Should. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I went up to the vending machine and I couldn't get a Mars bar, and I tried to shake the machine, but it wouldn't yield up the lovely peanut butter, because I want to put it in my bag. Yeah. Oh, and then I'm in a premiere in.
But there are certain things Elvis missed out of the Heartbreak Hotel.
What's that?
Just the things you do after a breakup.
Okay.
You know, there's no verse about going to your ex-girlfriend's house at 4 a.m. and screaming at her from outside.
Yeah, drunk dialing.
Yeah, or putting a shit through the letterbox of her new boyfriend.
No.
There's none of that stuff.
No.
He misses out some crucial breakup things.
Yeah.
Well, I deleted your number.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Angry texts.
Yeah, but I know it by memory. So when I'm drunk, I'm gonna text you and say, get back with me. See?
I killed a pigeon. Because I felt depressed, so I killed a pigeon. You know.
Yeah, tweezed out all my nostril hair just to feel some pain.
Yeah.
You know, there's none of that.
No, none of that.
Elvis. And it says that it says, although it's always crowded, you still can find some room.
Right. Yeah, because
But then it's not that crowded, is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Well, you can share, bunk up. Do you reckon it's one of those hotels that's got bunk beds for, you know what I mean? Like a traveler's hostel.
Yeah.
And you're just in there with a bunch of sad men who've been dumped.
With smelly feet.
Yeah. Anyway, take your shoes off, guys. Get comfortable. And welcome to another exciting, all-new episode of the Excitable Boy podcast for Wednesday, the 8th of March.
Hello.
In the year 2017.
Yep.
What's going on? How are you? How's your week been? Has everything been good? Donald Trump.
Right.
What about that guy? Right, we'll see what's up. Ooh, what's up with that? Ooh.
Right.
Donald. Ooh. Ooh. Donald, what are you doing?
Right.
President.
Right.
What's up with you with your tweets? I never thought we'd live in a world where you'd go, president's tweets, and that would be on the news.
Hmm.
What did the president tweet today?
Right.
I feel bad for Obama in this situation.
Uh-huh.
Obama.
Right. Well, I don't feel bad for him. He's shooting 9 holes of somewhere.
He should be doing 18 holes. Well, did you know that golfers see 9 holes as a joke?
But he's tired.
So they say if you do 9, that's not golf.
Okay, he's shooting 18 holes and then he's ordering a drone strike even though he has no authority to do so.
Tapping phone lines.
Afterwards, yeah.
No, but it must be bad for him to be like, well, I'm out of this now. You know, I'm going to go and shoot with Michelle on the beach. Every day there must be some Secret Service guy coming up to you and go, Mr. President, the new president has done this today. Done that today. He's blamed you for this, and he's trying to make you a scapegoat for that, and he's accusing you of this. So that you tapped that while he's been tapping other things.
Yeah.
I just feel bad for him.
Right.
You know.
Well, he's just sold the rights for his autobiography. Him and Michelle. He's getting like $60 million for it. He's just going, you know, each chapter begins, and, you know, there's going to be a chapter about killing Osama bin Laden. Do you know what I mean?
This is a book or a movie?
It's going to be a book. Like an autobiography. Like a joint autobiography.
I think his wife.
Yeah.
Michelle and me wrote a book and made lots of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How I fell in love
Presidency.
With...
Presidency.
How I fell in love with drones.
We killed him.
Yeah.
We sent helicopters into Pakistan. Who'd have thought Osama would be in fucking Pakistan?
Right.
Michelle and me kicking it on a beach. Now we're free from the presidency.
Yeah.
Do you like that? See, what I did is I took the Beatles song Michelle.
Oh, I didn't realise that was a thing.
And I applied it to... You don't know the Michelle?
I don't.
Michelle, ma belle, sans les mots, il va très bien ensemble. You don't know that song?
No.
It's a McCartney one. It's a good one.
All right.
Do you know how they found Osama? Do you know that the Red Cross, right? Mm-hmm. Right, strap in for this little factoid. Mm-hmm. The Red Cross had spies in them, right? And they went into...
In them.
They, yeah.
Inside
they
had, them.
There were some spies in the Red Cross, like the agents. In the agents posing as Red Cross workers. Doubles,
yeah, fine.
Right? And they were they went into areas where they thought they had intelligence that said where Osama bin Laden was.
Mm-hmm.
They found out the village they thought he was in, and they went around all the towns in the area and offered, I think it was free polio vaccinations
mm-hmm.
to everyone in those areas. And obviously everyone wants a free polio vaccination because no one wants polio.
Right.
So they go, yeah, and they knocked on every door. Everyone went, yes, please, polio, yes, please, give us the injections, yes, please, polio.
Right.
And then they got to one house, didn't want it.
Wow.
And they were like, that must be where he is.
Polio, were, my and God. And they were right.
So the Red Cross,
mm-hmm.
in many ways, responsible for the death of a tyrant.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So when there you go. Money,
so you learn things when you listen to this show.
Yeah, you do. You know?
Things that I heard from another podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just feel bad for Obama. That's all I'm saying. I just think he should be chilling right now. And it sounds like he's still got his work cut out for him.
Mm.
You know, every fucking day there's a new fucking conspiracy theory from this television host that is now the leader of the free world.
Mm.
Mental.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely mental. But anyway, what else happened this week?
I know I'm a bit late to this, but you know, the Oscars happened. Do you know?
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, how did Mel Gibson get back into the fold? I mean, what happened? How did he get back in the fold? And I just imagine that he must have had a manager.
He's still pretty bad.
Don't mention the Jews.
When you see interviews with him now, he's still, you can see his body language go like, oh no.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting that what that statute of limitations is on in Hollywood on forgiveness. Like, he got Best Picture nomination.
Best Director
for
Hacksaw Bridge,
starring Wedding Crashers guy
Jeff Bridges.
Is he in it?
No.
Oh. I haven't seen it. But it's just, it is interesting to me that how long you have to lay low for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just eight, nine years, and you're just back in the game.
8 or 9 years, and everyone's like, yeah, do you know what?
Let's give him another chance.
Okay, come on.
We've really enjoyed What Women Want. So let's give him another chance. That film is the most fucking ludicrous movie ever made.
Why?
What Women Want.
Because
Mel Gibson works in marketing and he's banging everyone, but he's not happy. Right? And then one day he electrocutes himself in the bath with a hairdryer, and then he can read women's minds.
Oh, right. He becomes enlightened. Yeah.
And then he becomes this really empathetic, compassionate human because he understands the plight of the woman.
Right.
Even though all of their problems are probably not what women worry about.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And like he uses it so he can get really good at sex.
Right.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he can hear what the woman's thinking. And then he uses it to help his marketing as well.
Yeah, everyone wins.
And then at the end of the movie, he still gets the woman. Oh, and he wins his daughter back.
Does he stop hearing voices?
The funny thing about that movie is he can't hear any Jews, which is
Jewish.
Really interesting. He can hear all women except Jewish women.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
Which is where it started with Mel.
And there's this bit... there's this bit where he goes to like a Chinese psychic as well. And it's like, it's kind of racist how they portray this Chinese woman. Seriously, watch What Women Want if you haven't seen it for a long time.
Right.
And the boss is played by Alan Alda.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great actor.
Mm.
He goes, Mel, you can't get into women's minds. Mm-hmm. You can get into their pants better than anyone I know.
Right.
But you can't. Reading you and women and reading their minds, just not something you can do. So he doesn't get the job.
Mm.
And then they give it to Helen Hunt, who swoops in,
mm-hmm.
the master of the marketing department. And then they bang. And then he loses the power, but he still gets the woman.
Right.
It's a ridiculous film.
Speaking of getting into women's minds,
yes,
I've been watching 50 Shades of Grey. Because it's just come on Netflix, right?
Has it?
Yeah, so I thought I haven't watched all the way through.
I sounded so enthusiastic there.
Yeah.
Has it?
I thought I'd
watch... What I meant was, I don't care.
Yeah, what I thought is I'd watch bits of it. Because I kind of watched the first 15 minutes, and then I'd report in each week what's happened.
I don't know what that film's about.
Right, okay. So I can tell you...
It seems like it's like porn for people that don't watch porn.
Yeah, I can tell you what the first 15 minutes is like.
Okay.
Right. So there's a young English... literature student, right?
At uni.
Yeah, she's at uni. And she lives...
That's university to the layman.
Yeah. Her flatmate is sick.
Why is she sick?
She's got flu. Okay. And she's like, could you go and do this interview with this businessman? Because I'm too sick to do it. So I'll give you all the questions.
And pretend you're me.
Yeah, yeah. And well, no, not pretend you're me, just you're someone else. But I'll give you the questions. You go, pop along. So he pops along to this, she pops along to this big corporate building. She gets shown up to, I don't know, the penthouse floor or whatever. And she has this interview with this guy. And it's just really, really stilted.
And his name is?
Gray. Christian Gray, right?
Oh.
He's the guy, right? And he's like, he's being really kind of elusive and kind of withheld. And then, so that meeting happens and they speak. It's just shit dialogue. And then she leaves and she almost like comes. When she comes, she gets on the lift.
Hang on a minute. She nearly has an orgasm. Yeah, from a meeting?
Yeah, it's so tense.
That's never happened.
But there's a lot of shots. Like this director... There are a lot of shots of her, like close-up shots of her, like sucking a pencil. I mean, there's a lot of that going on. Like, I mean, a disproportionate amount of shots of just her, you know, with her just dangling a pencil on her lip,
like folding her head and neck back and slowly eating a bunch of grapes.
Yeah,
squeezing nectarines in her hand. You know,
so she rubbing a
dry scouring pad down the bottom of her feet, getting the dead skin off, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So she goes home.
Hot.
She goes home, going, God. I want to fuck him, like, but she doesn't say it, but she totally wants to. And then she goes back to her flatmate and goes, her flatmate goes, oh, it's amazing information you got from him. What a great interview. Thank you so much for doing it. I mean, she seems better by this point. So she really could have done the interview. Her sick flatmate wasn't really that sick. And so that happens. Anyway, fast forward like another day or so, like half a week or whatever. And she's this girl who goes to the interview and wants to fuck this guy. She's working in a hardware store because that's where she works.
What this is she beautiful?
Yeah, she's, you know, Dakota Johnson. She's pretty woman, pretty girl.
I don't know.
Anyway, so she's working a hardware store quite incongruously to put herself through fucking university.
Yeah, that sounds plausible.
Yeah. It's a bit like Flashdance when she was a welder. Do you know what I mean? And then this guy Christian Grey shows up. He goes, I want cable ties and I want all the bondage gear. And she's getting more and more turned
like
on.
What?
But she's like, I want cable ties, I want gaffer tape.
I need a saw.
I need, no, nothing like that. I want, yeah, but just restraining stuff.
A wet tennis ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Toilet plunger.
Okay, so that's it. So it gets all really tense again.
I need a toilet plunger.
Yeah, toilet plunger.
I need some bleach.
Bleach.
Some lime.
Yeah, lime. Yeah, yeah.
Some rope.
Yeah, yeah.
I need an empty bathtub.
Yes.
And I need you to follow me into this alley.
And so that happens. So she buys all this stuff. And then they go...
Sells.
Yeah, so and then they go for a drink, and then they'll, you know, I think.
So he goes to get all the bondage stuff, and he manages to procure himself a date.
Yeah, that's right, because he's such a dreamboat, but he's a bit aloof. And then they go and do the drink, and then right at the end, he grabs and goes, "I'll break you." He goes like, "I'm not right for you. I'll break you." And then he walks off. So that's what I've got to so far. There's a lot of bad dialogue. There's 50.
So you're going to carry on with this review?
Yeah,
next week?
I will. I think I'll just. I mean, it might peter out.
There's a sequel, isn't there?
A bit like the film. Yeah,
50
out now.
More shades.
Yeah, yeah.
Closer shades. What's it called? Darker shades.
Something.
Grayer shades.
Yeah, yeah, grayer shades.
Lamp shades.
Yeah.
It looks like, you know, when everyone was like, "Oh, look, you know, Basic Instinct, this and that," and it's just like, well, actually, the film is rubbish.
Mm.
But people just get caught up in the fanfare of the subject matter.
Basic Instinct was all right.
No, it wasn't.
She was a, what was she, a novelist?
I don't know, it was like, just rubbish. It was just a rubbish film.
She had crossed her legs. And
like Michael Douglas goes around the house, she's just getting off with her girlfriend. Like that's ever happened in anyone's life, ever.
Listen, Michael Douglas has been in some pretty good, unrealistic films.
Speaking of which, I saw Moonlight this week.
Oh yeah.
You seen that?
No, I want to. Looks like good.
Winner of the best Oscar. Mm. And I have to make an omission here. Last week... I don't know if omission is the right word. But last week I said that I get it. I was like, I know what that film's about. It's blatantly...
Don't go in there.
It's a race... Yeah, I was like, don't... It's one of those race movies. Don't go in there.
Right.
But you go in there.
Mm.
I'll say that. You go in there. It's not about race, really. I mean, it is. I got to be honest with you. Best picture winner. Scooped up a lot of Oscars. Very important subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And also the first time, I think ever, that there's been a gay... black relationship on a cinema screen,
right.
And also kind of, I guess, the cultural and social importance of that.
Yes.
And also the kind of the facade of machoism as well. Like you have to, in that culture in Miami, you have to, you know, in that life, you have to act like a man all the time. It's very macho. It's kids beating each other up. There's this gay guy having these gay feelings.
Indeed.
And it's really important. And it's a really boring film. It's so boring. Oh my god, it's boring.
Right.
This is my review of Moonlight, right? Really important subject, really boring film.
Right.
Like, it's such an important topic, and I just felt like they made a really, really average film out of it. Great.
Well, maybe that's an indictment of you. Maybe you just like explosions and stupid shit, like in Die Hard, and maybe this is a different kind of song.
You might have an argument there.
It's not Too Fast, Too Furious, basically.
I've never seen that.
No, but I'm guessing that you would take to that.
Go see it. Because they need...
I dare you.
They
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
In the soundtrack, do they include Top Loaders Dancing in the Moonlight?
They do not.
Right.
No, they don't. There's no songs about the moon in it.
I think they missed a trick.
No. Anyway... let's do the letters.
Let's do those.
Let's do the letters. It's the letter part of the show. We're going to take a short break here and see if we have any adverts this week. And let's hope that we do, because the more adverts there are, the more money we make.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Was there an advert there?
Right, yeah.
I don't know yet.
Then I buy it. I found the voiceover reassuring, yet commanding.
Yeah. I felt like I didn't think I wanted that product. Yeah. And then I heard that advert, and now I really want that product. Yeah.
It was a bit like being frog marched by a kindly uncle.
Yeah.
Into a situation that you didn't want.
It was alarming yet satisfying.
Yeah.
Anyway, every week you can write into the show, ebp@excitableboypodcast.co.uk. Any problem you might be having, write in and we'll answer them. It might be a work problem, like...
Yeah. You work in a cubicle next to a man called Mark, and he likes chewing gum, chewing gum. He likes chewing gum so much, but he chews so loudly that you don't like it. It starts to really put you off. A few months pass and the chewing gets incessant, so you devise a plan of making him stop. So you buy him lozenges. Here, have some lozenges, you say to him, and he goes, no, alright, I'm fine with the chewing gum. I'm fine with the chewing gum, I quite like it. Oh, please, 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 have a lozenge, have a lozenge, have a fucking lozenge. No, I'm alright, well, Jesus Christ, I'm fine with the chewing gum. Have a fucking lozenge, have a fucking lozenge, suck the lozenge. No, I don't want a lozenge, I like chewing gum, it makes me feel like a cowboy or a breakdancer. Come on, suck a fucking lozenge, and you grab him by the neck. You take him and roll around with him on the floor, and he starts to scream, help, 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 help. Malcolm runs in with a fire extinguisher and donks you across the head. You go fucking mental at this and start hitting Malcolm. Then you hit the guy with the lozenge, and you hit the guy with Malcolm, and you hit the guy with a gum, and then you get the entire packet of gum and shove it in your mouth, 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 and go, there you go, you've reduced me to this, just stop chewing, you prick. Right into the show.
Or maybe it's a relationship problem, like...
You go out with a girl called Pauline, and it's going quite well. But the only problem is when you go to a restaurant, she takes ages to order her food. Last time she took about 45 minutes to order. You were angrily chewing breadsticks and gasoline water. Now you just want her to hurry up, hurry up, hurry up and order food. So this time when you go to the restaurant, you go, you click the waiter, and he comes over, and you do that thing where you go, she'll be having the fish. What are you doing? What are you doing? I want to pick what I want. She'll have the fish. She'll love it. Don't worry, sweet cheeks. You'll love it. And she walks out of the restaurant. Oh, you're trying to win her back, but it's proving hard now. And she's seeing a new guy called Toby. Right into the show. Right into the show. How about that? I don't know what you want from me. I'm just making all of them up.
Right? Or maybe it's a sex problem, like...
You like Sandra. You're very excited with her. But sometimes she likes to put you in a human-sized piñata and assault you with a stick. Assault you with a stick. Bang, bang. Assault you with a stick. There you go.
What is that song? Oh, that's a Halbala. Halbala. Remember that song?
Ooh, baby.
It's making me crazy.
Every time I look around. Every time I look around. You're in my face. Yeah.
That's right up there with
Oh shit.
That one. It's all in family. And you. That's like what you'd hear on holiday in Spain. You'd hear the cover band. Yeah. You'd hear them in the distance do it.
Yeah. You've just had a really massive argument with your wife. You've been drinking by the pool all afternoon,
day,
and she's getting really. She got really angry at you for just neglecting her and not.
She
like,
didn't like the way that
quite
you,
rightly. Quite
she
rightly.
She saw, even though you were wearing sunglasses, yeah, she saw you looking at that topless woman. Yeah.
And her grievances are completely correct because you're not pulling your weight with
but
the kids.
You were just defending,
and you just got in a massive argument with your wife. She just stormed out. You've gone for early evening drinks. You're sipping a pina colada. She's just stormed the fuck off, right into the twilight. And rose for the lady.
Here comes my happiness again. I find that song weird because it's like Spanish, but the guy's like a total fucking redneck singing it, isn't it?
Please let her know that I'm loyal. As you can tell, you all just wanna dance the night away with Senorita Hook and Sway.
Odd song. They're like wearing cowboy hats, aren't they? But it's also mariachi.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like Surf and Turf.
Also, just, interesting fact, that whole song is two chords, which is almost unheard of.
Right.
Most songs are three minimum. Right. That song is two chords.
Good for
E
them.
And B 7.
There we go.
Anyway, let's crack on with the letters.
Yeah.
Anyway, I could talk about men's fashion and all day, but I'm afraid work must be done.
Right.
What's that film?
Don't know.
Die Hard. Die Hard quote, and you missed it. Before I read these letters out, I have been told by our legal department to say that we are not trained advice givers, and any advice that we do give should be taken in jest.
Your speed is impressive.
Okay, bad proposal.
Right.
Dear EBP, I need your help. My sister's boyfriend is about to propose to her. That's not the problem. He is awesome, and I'm really happy for them. The problem is that he is planning a mahusive proposal. She is a chef, and he's planning to go to her work and reenact her favourite movie, Say Anything, by proposing outside with a boombox over his head. It's the worst idea I've ever heard. I really don't know what's made him think this is a good idea. All it's going to do is embarrass my sister at her job in a really fancy restaurant. Should I not do it? Or is this a case of live and let live?
What is that film with John Cusack in it?
Say Anything.
Is that the 1980s film?
When he holds the boombox over his head. I know it's an iconic image. It's a Cameron Crowe film, isn't it?
Right, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah. Should he do it? It's her favourite film, though, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I really like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but if, you know, someone dressed up as an Oompa Loompa and came to tell me that my mum was in the hospital, I'd be pretty freaked out by it.
Right. But it might take the sting out of the knees.
That's true. That's very true. There are plenty of films I like, but I don't need people recreating them while I'm at work.
Mm. Well, I think it's not your business. Just got to let this play out. You can't go up to him and go, listen, that's a terrible idea.
Okay. Maybe the real problem here is not that you're worried your sister's going to be embarrassed being proposed to you. It's that you are lonely and no one's proposing to you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the problem is here, mate.
Maybe you want the boombox.
Maybe you need a long, hard look in the mirror and you need to say, why doesn't anyone want to marry me?
Yeah.
You know? That might be why.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe you should get out of those chat rooms.
Yep.
And get on the streets.
Put the Xbox controller down.
Yeah, put it down.
Yeah. Put your shoes on. Go out and meet some women.
Yeah.
Socks and shoes.
Yeah. Hang up your avatar.
Yeah.
And
Go into the real world.
Go into the real
find
world.
Find someone willing to hold a boombox up for you.
Yeah.
Isn't that the lesson here?
Yeah.
The real lesson here is find someone to hold a boombox up for you.
Ice cream is not love.
There you go. Next letter. I'm dating a woman who spends ages in the bathroom. We've been on 4 dates and we've done 1 sex.
I did a sex.
She's cool, funny, and has really nice teeth. Here's the problem.
Right?
That's
yeah, it's fine. You know, yeah,
oral hygiene is
values,
important.
Values.
Here's the problem. She spends ages in the bathroom, not just at my house, but in restaurants and bars too, like 20 minutes minimum.
Right.
And she never gives me a reason. Last week I took her to a gig at the O2 Arena, and I swear to God, she missed half the show. What the fuck is going on? Can I ask her? What's she doing in there?
Well, yeah, you should ask her.
Maybe. I don't know if you should. Maybe she's got, got something she's embarrassed by.
Yeah, well, fine, but just like...
Maybe she's texting a guy that she likes.
Well, maybe. But maybe she's just like, maybe she's OCD and she needs to... Like, to turn around 5 times in the cubicle and then high-five a...
Yeah, wash your hands in every sink.
Yeah, and high-five a toilet attendant and then just kind of...
Use every Dyson Airblade.
Yeah, use the Airblades 5 times each.
Yeah, touch every soap dispenser. And then maybe she can't touch the door handle to open it. Why isn't every door handle push when you leave the toilet?
What are you talking about?
Like, when you leave a toilet and you've washed your hands and then you have to touch a doorknob to open the door, every door should just be a push door.
But you can wash your hands after the push.
No, you wash your hands.
Oh, when you're leaving.
And you're leaving
the
toilet.
I thought you meant the cubicle.
And you're leaving, either way, you're leaving the toilet and you have to pull the door to get out. You're just putting all those fucking piss germs back on your hand.
Right.
It's gross. Why isn't every toilet a push door?
Health and safety.
It should be the law.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Anyway. Well, that's a side note.
That is a side note and it is off topic.
I would talk to her. And ask her gently in a non-judgmental, accusatory way.
I don't know, man.
Well, clearly she's kind of gone in and she's like maybe applying makeup and doing things like that.
She would have said something.
Or she's taking a massive shit and she doesn't want to talk about it.
Exactly.
Walk up to her and go, listen, and in the sweetest way possible, go, did you just do a massive shit?
Yeah.
And was it
did
hard?
Did you just?
Do you have some kind of issue?
Yeah. Was there children and was there a pool at which they needed to be dropped off? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
You know?
You missed half the show.
Yeah.
I bought these tickets. You missed half the show. I'm owed an explanation. And lean slightly into her space. I know, in all seriousness, can't you just ask her?
No!
Why not?
She would have offered it up.
No. What do you mean, offered
she
it up?
She would have said, oh, sorry, that was
doing
a
massive shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she would have said she would have come up with an excuse by now. You're putting her on the spot. I think you're going to make her feel very uncomfortable. Maybe she has just got really bad IBS, or she's she's so into you she gets nervous, and that means she needs to poo because she gets nervous.
Fine.
And maybe
considering they've just started seeing each other, I think this is a conversation that has to happen down the road. But it will happen at some point.
I think the further down the road you get and the more she drops her guard, the more honest she'll be and just one day she'll just come out and say it.
What you should do...
Look, I crap 8 times a day.
What you should do is next time you're out and about, go to the loo for 45 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Just go, I'm off to the loo. Just go for 45 minutes.
See if she says anything.
Play Angry Birds. And then just come back and then she'll go, where the fuck have you been? It's like, I might ask you the same question. Boom, you're away. Dialogue.
I can't argue with that. That's genius. All right, next letter, Riding Solo. Dear EBP, next week I've managed to get a theatre ticket for myself for £3 for a big West End show. Although I'm super proud of getting this ticket so cheaply and excited to see the show, I've never been to the theatre or done much of that scale on my own. Do you have any tips for doing this sort of stuff on your own?
Well, going to the theatre?
Yeah.
Well, it's very simple. You turn up with your ticket. you the usher shows you where you're going.
You sit down,
you watch the fucking show, and then you get up, hopefully moved and changed in some way, ideally moved, and then you move yourself out of the theatre onto the train and home. It's pretty simple.
Do you wish that people still wore suits and dresses to go to the theatre?
No.
You don't?
Why?
Don't know.
Wish people made more of an effort.
I just miss occasions, you know? Not many things are an occasion anymore. Like, it used to be like when you go on an airplane, you'd wear a suit. Not in our lifetime, but when I look at pictures of airplanes,
it's a special occasion.
People are wearing suits because they're about to go in the air.
Yeah.
You know? And then you go to the theatre, you'd wear a dress or shit.
Wear a suit if I went to space.
Well, that would be different because you'd have to wear a space suit.
No, but I'd wear a suit.
Oh, you'd wear a tux under your space suit.
Yeah, I'd wear a suit.
Well, that makes sense.
This new tourism, space tourism, that's the equivalent, isn't it? Just whack on a top and tails.
In many ways, that is the new best thing you could do socially, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think, you know, the only thing people dress smart for is eating now. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, why? That's just going to turn out as poo.
Yeah, you have this attitude towards food.
Yeah.
Which is why bother? Because it's all going to turn to shit, quite literally.
The greatest meal you ever have and the drunk McDonald's are both leaving out the same door.
Yeah.
<That's, laughs> you know, one might be coming in through a VIP entrance, and the other one you might be sneaking down an alley hoping no one sees you, but they're leaving out the same fucking door.
The arsehole is a great leveler.
It is. The leveler of life. Mm. Anyway, my advice would be wear a suit and then go watch the play and then leave.
Yeah.
You know?
And then tweet about it.
I'd like to know what show it is. Can you tell us what show you're going to see?
Yeah. Well done for getting cheap tickets. But that's it. You'll be fine. I think that the what's behind the question is, how do you go to a place on your own? Like, how do you go to the movies on your own? How do you go to the theatre on your own? You just do it and it's a lot of fun.
Here's what you do.
You don't have to talk to anyone.
Here's what you do. Don't shower for 3 days before. Wear a long raincoat and stand in the queue near children.
Yeah.
Heckle the actors.
Yeah.
They love that. Remember, when you go to the theatre, you're not just watching the show.
It's an interactive.
You are part of the show. And the first one to shout something wins a prize.
Did you know that?
You might win a holiday or a VW Beetle.
Yeah.
So shout, wear a suit,
mm-hmm.
don't wash, long raincoat. Here's the other thing that happens. When the interval happens at the theatre,
mm-hmm.
if you walk to the bar, they just put free drinks on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
There might be other people's names next to those drinks. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just stolen booze?
No.
Oh, I have. You've never stolen a drink from an interval? Seriously?
No.
I stole an umbrella from a church the other day.
Right.
Went to a gig,
mm-hmm.
and it was pissing it down when the gig finished. It was like 11 o'clock at night.
And you just thought, me first?
No.
That's what this culture has come to. That's the erosion of values. And you just thought, do you know what? It's raining out there. Fuck the guy who owns that. Fuck him. Not just, maybe it's okay if I take it. No, fuck that guy. And you just took it, didn't you?
It was in the lost property. Okay. There was a big box that said lost property and there was an umbrella in there. And I thought, you know what? I've lost so many umbrellas.
Yeah, the rationalization's kicked in.
Yeah, this is the...
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? What?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know that? It's whenever anyone is about to do something that they know is wrong, they go, do you know what? And balance. And then they conclude that the universe is telling them to do it. You know, they completely absolve themselves of moral responsibility. Yeah, the universe is kind of telling me to take the fucking object.
There are at least 20 people on the planet who have found one of my umbrellas or taken one of my umbrellas.
Right.
This wasn't anyone's umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the lost property. And I thought, you know what? My turn. No one got hurt. No one noticed.
Oh, no one got hurt. That's brilliant.
I did walk away very quickly from the church. Like I'd stolen something from the church, actually. That's what it felt like.
But you were guilty and dry.
I felt bad. And then I told some people that I was with and they made me go take it back. And I went, I'm not taking it back. I was like, it's from out of the lost property. It doesn't belong to anyone.
Well, technically, someone could come back and go, oh, I don't know if it's in your lost property, but I left a nice gold-studded you know.
It was a cheap, shitty umbrella.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for the show. Join us next week for more nothing on the Excitable Boy podcast. Please go on iTunes and leave a review or put some stars in.
Yeah.
Do that. And thank you for listening to the show. Don't forget that you're going to die. You're going to die alone. Thank you for listening for another week.
Goodbye.
Don't forget that you're going to die and yep. It's only going to get more bleak.
All right.
You might be young right now and thinking, I want to grow up and do that.
Mm.
But the older you get, the more you realise that you're probably never going to get there.
No.
And then you'll see people you know becoming really successful.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to deal with the fact that you're never going to be quite as successful.
Fuck your life, fuck your life, fuck your life.
Fuck you.
Fuck your life.
Fuck your life, fuck your life, fuck your life, and fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck your life, fuck your life, fuck your life, and fuck you. Fuck your life, yeah, fuck your life, fuck your life. And it's true.
Here comes the music.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.